This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. One man said thank you. Happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. Oh, my goodness. I want to talk to mothers this morning, and I also want to speak to the whole body of Christ here. My plan is to bring a message on the presence of God and how it aids us in spiritual warfare. How many of you know that raising children and being a mom involves spiritual warfare? And I think that we just have some tremendous help, both physical, human, and divine, and spiritual help that is available to mothers and to families that mothers dwell in. We want to tell you how much we appreciate you, moms. We appreciate you, and that is what I want to share with you this morning. So, Father, I ask as I share this word that you would minister to us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. And let every mother know that's here this morning how precious she is in your sight. Lord, that is to include every female here who wants to be a mother and is not yet. Lord, we thank you that their motherhood is on the way. We thank you, Lord, for those who will never have children because they choose to or they're not able to. Lord, if they desire to, you can heal them and give them a miracle. But Lord, if not, they can surely be a mother to some child, to mother someone in the kingdom. We just ask now that you'll guide and direct my thoughts. Anoint me to speak your words in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can play with me until I get through with part one, okay? Okay. I want to talk to you about, I want to give you a little preface just to moms before I get into the main text. And we're going to be speaking from 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter this morning. But I want to give moms a survival strategy system. I want to talk to you about three quick things, survival strategies for mothers. How many of you know that it's important to know how to survive? Amen? But not only survive, I want to give you a strategy that will help you to not only survive, but everybody say thrive. Mothers need to not just survive, but thrive. If you believe that, say yes. Number one, moms, when you find yourself all alone in the wilderness of mothering, always remember this one important thing. Your God loves you. Your God loves you. Say, God loves me. Mother's Day can be a good day or it can be a sad day. Many mothers here today, they have an awesome husband who loves them. They have kids that they love and love them. Your mom is alive and you get along well with her. That's a good day. That's a good beginning. But there are other moms here that your family is in disarray. Your husband may have left you. Your children may be far from what they need to be and are out doing things they don't need to be doing. And it's a difficult day for you. Your mom may not be here. She may be separated from you emotionally or physically. She may be in heaven or she may be far away. Your relationship may not be what you would like for it to have been. That is a tough day. But whatever your situation may be, we need you to understand the Lord says he loves you no matter what. And you're never alone, even when you feel alone. Somebody say amen. And we need to understand that mothering is not easy. There are success stories, okay? And there are mistake stories, okay? You can't have one without the other and be a mom. Hello? And you need to be able to forgive yourself. You need to be able to get up and go again. You need to be able to understand that nobody is going to be a successful mom and not make a mistake. You need to understand that God loves you even when you make mistakes. God loves you when you think you're a bad mom. Somebody say hello. Okay, and he says that he is, in Deuteronomy 4, he says he is ever merciful and will never abandon you. So you need to understand that God is by your side, okay? Say it with me. God loves me and he's with me. As a mother, the second survival strategy for moms that cause you to thrive is number two, and this is really neat. Let's get rid of the supermom myth. The supermom myth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Supermom is the woman who's got a full-time job, attends every one of the kids' activities, is a fabulous gourmet cook, is a great housekeeper, always looks hot, never misses a church service, and we all call those kinds of moms what? Non-existent. They don't exist. The question you may ask yourself is, you know what? Hey, should I be, bear with me, should I be a stay-at-home mom or a working mom? Let me be very clear. Let me be extremely clear. If you are a stay-at-home mom, you are a working mom, okay? What's the definition of motherhood? An activity that offers all the delights of running a hotel, a fine restaurant, a school, and a taxi service with none of the worry or bother of having to collect or spend a salary or income. Motherhood, it's a full-time job. As one mom said, if motherhood was going to be easy, it never would have started with something called labor. Nearly three-quarters of all mothers are earning a paycheck outside of the home in America. Can you believe that? It's a difficult balance to achieve. Many working mothers outside the home and gaining a salary, many struggle with guilt. They have to leave the kids and go to work. And they feel guilty when they have to leave work to be home with the kids when they get sick because they're letting somebody down either way. There are some moms who wish that they didn't have to go to work, and there are some moms who wish they could leave home and go to work. It's complicated, okay? One female therapist said, "Show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt, and I'll show you a man." There are all kinds of moms in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do you find a specific definition of how to be a perfect mother and including the Proverbs 31 woman, raise children. In terms of everybody is unique. You don't find a definition of motherhood. Be the mom that God intended you to be. Now, you find guidelines in God's word about what mothers do, but you need to be the mom you need to be. You need to be the mom God created you to be. Can you say amen? Quit comparing yourselves to other mothers. Quit comparing yourself to what you deem as a success. Often what we deem as a success, people are looking at you and say, "I wish I could be like her." You need to open up your eyes and get rid of the supermom myth. Be who God made you to be. Supermoms don't exist. If you could look in the Bible and you could look in natural history here and see who the mothers were, of people like Mother Teresa, and people like Moses' mother and all these other mothers that were in the Word and in our history, you would see all kinds of different types of women and the different ways that they raised their child. There was one thing they all had in common: love of their child. And listen, if you love God and you love your child, you can get the job done. If you believe that, say amen. Okay, and thirdly, the third survival strategy, it's for fathers, it's for kids, it's for moms, it's for the whole family. And I want to read it to you. Number three, value motherhood through appreciation. Value motherhood. Husbands, value motherhood. Kids, value motherhood. Value your mother. How do you do it? Show appreciation. Show appreciation. What do moms need to hear on Mother's Day? One mom said that she could live a month on one person telling her that she's a good mom. Another mom said, "I just wish that my kids would appreciate the things I do for them." Appreciation. We all want it. We all need it. And we all have to have it to survive emotionally. Proverbs 12:25 says this: "Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders." The simple gift of encouragement is a fuel for your life, my friend, and we all need it. And appreciation gives you staying power. It's an expression of admiration, approval, and gratitude. Appreciation. It's an expression of admiration, approval, and gratitude. How many of you moms could use some of that? Let me see your hands. Only three. The rest of you are fully self-sufficient. Okay. I wonder if my family appreciates all that I do. We need to appreciate mom today. It fuels her life. You know, the ideal mom is supposed to be Proverbs 31. And you go down the list, it's just awesome. I've never found anybody who fits quite all of them. But I've found mothers who have many traits in them and some that differ. But here's the point. I believe that this is the reason that this mother was so well thought of. And look at the last verse. If you look at the next, the last verse of Proverbs 31, it says, her children and her husband regularly rise up and call her blessed. I didn't realize it, but that's the key to the Proverbs 31 success, mom, is her children and her husband appreciating her and rising up and calling her, mom, you bless me. Mom, I'm blessed to have you. Somebody say amen. If you want a Proverbs 31 wife and a Proverbs 31 mom, guys, you need to be a Proverbs 31 family that says we appreciate our moms. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Finally, I want to give you this thing. You need to appreciate your mom every day, not just once a year. Here's a tribute to mothers that was written by Angela Guffey. I like it. This is for all the mothers who froze their bottoms off on metal bleachers at soccer games Friday night instead of watching from the car so that when their kids asked them, did you see my goal? They could say, of course I did, honey. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world and really mean it. This is for all the mothers who sat up all night with sick kids in their arms, wiping up chunks of wieners and cherry soda that suddenly reappeared, saying, it's okay, honey, mommy's here. When I read that, I cried. This is for all the mothers in war-torn places who fled the night last night and they can't find their children this morning. This is for the mothers who gave birth to babies that they will never see, and for the mothers who took those babies and made homes for them. For all the moms whose children have been kidnapped in the world today, this is for them. This is for all the moms whose kids were victims of school shootings and the mothers of the murderers as well. For the mothers of the survivors and for the mothers who sat in front of their TVs in horror, hugging their child who just came home safely from school. This is for mothers who run carpools, who make cookies, who sew Halloween costumes, and for all the mothers who don't. This is for the mothers who mess up. Somebody say amen. Who yell at their kids in the grocery store and stomp their feet like a tired two-year-old trying to get ice cream before dinner. This is for all the mothers who taught their daughters to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and for all the other smart mothers who opted for Velcro. And this is for all the mothers who show up for work with spit up in their mouth. Not in their mouth, oh God. Although I think they've done that a few times too. And this is for all the mothers who show up for work with spit up in their hair, mouth stains on their blouses, and diapers in their purses. Thank you, moms. We appreciate you. And we do, don't we? Amen. We appreciate you, moms. Hallelujah. Thank you, Amanda. Along with that, I have, a word that will help you in raising your children and your families. It will help you in your walk in life. It is a word in season, I believe. It has to do with the presence and the word of the Lord in warfare. I said earlier that if we're going to raise a family as mothers, as fathers, we're going to have warfare. The enemy's going to come against us, but we need to define what warfare is. And we need to see it in the scripture. And one of the ones that I see here, and I didn't realize how much it really applies to family. And yet it's so obvious when you look at it. And it applies to mothers and fathers and children being together in the house of God and in the presence of God. Oh, what better way to win victory? Somebody say yes. And I believe it is a word in season. Jehoshaphat and the people of Jerusalem and Judah were facing attack from their enemies that surrounded them. Get the picture. Here's Israel. And they're surrounded by the Moabites and the Edomites and all the otherites, and they are literally going to kill them. And word has come to Jehoshaphat, the king of the people of Israel. And he is aware that they are going to kill them. Jehoshaphat, mom, I know you're in heaven. And if you can hear me right now, I want you to know I thank you for not naming me Jehoshaphat. Thank you for not naming me Nebuchadnezzar or Ichabod. If your name's Nebuchadnezzar, you're not going to get along well in school here in America, at least. Ichabod, the glory is departed. Thank you, Mom, you didn't call me Ichabod. You know, the truth is that I that has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm just grateful. Amen. They were threatened with death and destruction. And at the end of their dreams, and they were threatened with the ending of their dreams and their destinies. It was all going to end, okay? Fear gripped them. To be clear, they were terrified. It's not a sin to be afraid. It's not a sin to be tempted to be afraid and to be tempted to be terrified. It's not a sin for the hair on your neck to stand up because you are frightened. What you need to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I resist this fear. And in the name of Jesus, I call upon the name of the Lord. And I utilize the weapons that are coming, that God has given me to come against that which is coming against me. What did they do? The Bible says that Jehoshaphat sought the Lord and that God gave him a plan, an assignment, if you will, and that they responded to that plan, and then God gave them a resounding victory that affected not only themselves and their preceding generations, but the nations and peoples around them in a profound way. They were involved in a spiritual warfare. To define spiritual warfare very quickly, simply, it's not centered around human beings and circumstances even. They were surrounded by human beings who wanted to kill them. They were surrounded and they had no defense except God. And that was enough. But in the natural, it looked bleak. But if you center in only on the people and the weaponry, you'll miss the point, because you don't center in on human beings and circumstances, but on a spiritual realm that has influence on the thoughts and values of those people. The people that we are coming, that come against us as Christians, the issues that come against us, it is that the enemy has affected their thoughts first and then their actions. Somebody say amen. And the enemy attacks the thoughts and the mores and then the behavior of America. And it creates a culture of unbelief in many parts of our country and the world. So it's the enemy working on people that is causing them to think and act as they do towards you and towards me and towards others. As we engage in the right war, we can see the most amazing changes come over people. We don't need to fight people. We need to fight principalities, powers, and dominions. We need to go to the source. Can you say yes? Ephesians 6 says, our battle is not with flesh and blood and principalities and powers, but our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it is with principalities and powers and dominions. But the Lord has said that he's with us. Somebody say amen. Let me read to you four verses at least in chapter 20. I've told you that they were surrounded by these enemies. But I want to skip to verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. And the Bible says, set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. That's the first point that they should have up there. And he set himself to seek the Lord. Number one, you need to set yourself to seek God and avoid all other distractions. Somebody say yes. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, and he refused to be distracted, because he knew that if he was distracted by the enemy or by his own pain or by the attacks that were coming against him, that he would not die on Calvary and resurrect and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had you and me in mind, so he could not afford to be distracted. He had to seek the face of his Father. Somebody say amen. Okay, in this case, Jehoshaphat set his face toward the Lord. There were no other distractions that he would allow. He literally put himself in sackcloth and ashes and began to fast. Why did he fast? Why did the people fast? To keep their minds on Jesus, to get rid of all the other encumbrances and all the other distractions. When you sit around on fast, you're ignoring the drives and the needs of the flesh, and you're cutting out everything that's around, and you're just centering in on Jesus, okay? So the first thing you need to do in a warfare is to seek the face of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Number two, they begin to praise God for his goodness. They begin to praise God for his goodness. And they said, O Lord our God, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Notice, they approach God, reminding him of his love and his covenant promises to them. His covenant promises. When you are in a place where you're going to be attacked, the very first thing you need to do, the very first thing I need to do, no matter how I feel, no matter what's coming against me, no matter the fear, I need to begin to raise my hands and praise the name of the Lord. I need to remind him of his promises. I need to remind him that he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And when the enemy reminds me of how weak I've been and how inconsistent I've been and how unfaithful I may have been, I'm going to say, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. And Father, I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you that even when I'm weak, you can make me strong. And Lord, even at my weakest moment, I'm still a son of God. Hallelujah. You're a daughter of God. You need to begin to remind him of his promises, Father. You said that no weapon formed against me would prosper. But every demon and every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn with the words of my mouth. Because this is my inheritance. This is my righteousness. My righteousness is from the Lord, and this is what you told me to do, and you've given me the right to do it. So devil, you just hear me. My Father loves me even when I haven't been perfect, and I'm going to call him, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to give him glory, and I'm going to remind him that when you told me to serve you, I said I'd serve you. When I became your son, you didn't make me your son because I was worthy. You made me your son because you love me. And perfect love casts out all fear. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Oh God of our fathers, you're the God who has delivered me before. You're the God who has delivered me now. And you're the God who'll deliver me again. Past, present, and future. There's something about talking your covenant. There's something about praising the name of the Lord. Then it takes heaven from there and brings it here and here. And then the demons begin to flee because they cannot abide the presence of God. I don't think you understood me. They cannot abide. They can't dwell. They can't stay around where God's anointing is. Somebody say amen. It hurts them to be in God's presence. They can be inside of you attacking you or on you attacking you when you're in the presence of God. But did you hear that? But the moment you open your mouth and begin to praise him, hallelujah, that's when the manifestation of his power begins to clear out the room all around you. If you believe it, say amen. Right now, lift up your hands and praise him with your mouths, and thank him. Because when you do, you activate the anointing of God, the angels of the Lord. I praise you for your holy presence, Lord. Come now, Holy Spirit, as we praise you. I praise you for your goodness, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Father, we thank you that you're healing us, you're protecting us, you're delivering us, God. We stand in the midst of the assembly, and we fast before you, seeking only you, keeping our eyes upon you, Jesus, when I'm surrounded and I say, for the Lord is good, your promises are true, and your word is always yes and amen. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. Do you understand? Even when we begin to praise him like that, you sense his presence. His presence is power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall stand. Verse 9. Let's read it. If disaster comes upon us, verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will, everybody say, stand before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear me and you will save me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I will stand in this temple and in your presence. They were in a temple and his presence came, but he is in this temple and his presence will come out of me. Say, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word of God says. But he says, and we will stand. Everybody say, stand. The word in the Hebrew is amad. And look at the definition of the word stand. It means literally to abide. It means to continue. It means to dwell. It means to be employed. Be employed. Be doing, working, working. Are you listening? To endure, to establish, I will not move. This is the ground God gave me. This is where God has placed me. And then it says literally to be appointed. If you notice, it says appointed. It says to be appointed. It says to be present yourself. Don't send somebody. Show up there yourself. All right? Raise up. Stand up. And withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. The only way we can withstand the fiery darts of the enemy are to be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. And how do we get him to manifest from inside to outside? We praise the name of our God. And we speak his promises that he's given to us back to him. To repair, to serve, to tarry. What has this got to say? When you're attacked, you don't run from God, you run to God. When you're attacked, you don't quit everything God gave you to do in the kingdom. You stand fast and continue to serve. Why am I saying that? I believe some of you are contemplating quitting serving in the kingdom. Maybe running from God altogether, or you're not going to serve, you're not going to do this, you're not going to. You need to ask God. Some of you need to serve more because you're maybe not serving enough. But what you need to understand is that when you're serving, you're standing, you're dwelling, and you're saying, I am standing before you. There's something about standing for God's work and presence and word that causes God to show up on the scene. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, keep standing. Say, keep serving. Serving doing what? What he's appointed you to do. That's what it says, appoint. Do you know you're appointed to usher? Do you know you're appointed to teach Bible study? Now, I don't mean you don't take breaks. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you don't quit it. You don't give it up. Do you know you're appointed to drive those kids to church? Are you listening? You're appointed to go out to coffee with that young man or that young woman that needs a mentor. And when attack comes, you don't quit. You stay the course. You stay the course. When attacks come and seem to be continue, it's time to stand, to dwell. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Verse 12, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Again, say, no distraction. When you are confused and you don't know what to do next, keep your eyes on him. The enemy wants you to be distracted. What did they do when they were attacked? They came together with their families and they stood in the presence of the Lord. That's what it says. Let's look at verse 13. Especially on Mother's Day, I want to give you some family instruction. All Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord in his presence. Stood before the Lord. Now, picture it. They're surrounded by enemies that are absolutely, in the natural, outnumbering them 4 or 5 to 1 or more, and tremendous weapons that can cut them to ribbons, slaughter them and their families. And they go out there and stand before the Lord. They are standing before the Lord. The first thing you do, they don't run to the rocks and the mountains and hide. They come together and they stand in the presence of the Lord. And when they do that, they are subjecting themselves to the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Now, the Bible in Nehemiah says that in the days of Nehemiah, Israel got together and they would stand before the Lord because they had lost the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They found them, and over a course of many years, they found them, and so the families would gather together from sunrise to sunset and just hear the word of the Lord. Now, how many of you understand when you hear the word of the Lord, it brings the presence of the Lord? When you hear the word of the Lord, it brings the presence of the Lord. And so they were standing, hearing the word of the Lord, and in the presence of the Lord. So, I have a word for you mothers. Mothers, as surely as Israel stood and the word of the Lord was spoken over them, and the presence of the Lord was upon them, never underestimate the power that the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord can have on your children. The Bible says all of the people of God, with their infants, with their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord in his presence. Mothers have influence over children and over their husbands that nobody else has. If you believe it, say amen. Oh, I don't think I have influence. Oh, yeah, just ask your husband. That big old tough heart guy, all you got to do is give him a look and he's scared. He just shakes. You have influence. It's not all fear, but it's respect because you know what? If mama's unhappy, okay. Okay, now listen to this. Mothers have influence. Women are influential, especially when it comes to their children. Mothers, on Mother's Day, I encourage all of you to use your influence to keep your children and your teenagers deeply involved in the house of God and with the people of God and with the ministries of that house that affect your children. The ministries of the house, KICK, 2SM, AE, Range, you know, all of those things, youth camps, all of those, the technology that the AE is involved with, in an authentic exchange where they're training young people, and the music, all of those things, whatever their giftings are. You know, we have all kinds of outings with 2SM and other things. You need to KICK does tremendous things, and we want to do even more. You need to not shun those things. You need to gravitate towards those things. Children are deeply affected by attending the house of God and the fellowship of God's people, including kids their own age. Why? Because his presence is here. I'll say it again. His presence is here. Well, his presence is with me wherever I go, and I pray at home, and my kids get all the church they need at home. No, they don't. Otherwise, God wouldn't have had the church at all. You need to hear me. The greatest experience that you will probably ever have will be a private encounter with God at home by yourself. But listen to me, it won't be any greater experience than you get right here in the house of God. In fact, let me go another step further. You may have some tremendous experiences in your home by yourself, in your prayer closet. And believe me, that is powerful, and it will change your life forever. In fact, it may be the single most important thing you ever do. But you hear me, there's something that you cannot get at home that you can only get in the house of God. And let me say this, the power, the presence, and the move of God will happen more consistently in a corporate setting than it even does at home by yourself. In fact, there will be things that will happen here that will never happen there. Are you listening? So we need to understand that God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together for a reason. And children are affected by the presence of God. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. How many of you knew that? Okay, my shoe's untied, and I'd like to bend over and tie it, but I don't know if I would survive, so anyway. It's like that guy, he weighed about 300 pounds, and he says, your shoe's untied. He says, you need to bend over and tie your shoe. He says, do you know what you ask? So I won't trip over it in Jesus' name. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And Mary, of course, was the mother of Jesus. They were cousins, okay? Now everybody's looking at my shoe. Don't look at my shoe. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. No, put the mic up here. I'll keep talking. Hallelujah. Who said, oh, I can't even undo the knot now. Okay. That's just great. Okay. Who says you can't preach and chew gum at the same time? Huh? Yeah, I'm a multitasker. Okay, very good. Oh, God, now the other one's untied. Oh, well, anyway. These two were cousins. I'm talking about the presence of God affects your children. Elizabeth is in a far place, away from where Mary is. Not terribly far, but she has to walk. Mary has to walk to get there. And the Bible says that Mary went to see Elizabeth. Now, remember, Mary is an outcast, and Mary is impregnated without having known a man physically, and she's a virgin. And so everybody said, oh, yeah, you're a virgin, and I'm Santa Claus, okay? So she is an outcast, but she's going, hallelujah, even when she's having to walk in a way and in a climate that she's never walked before. When she's enduring things she's never endured before. Listen, when you're a mama, you're going to go through things you ain't never been through before. You're going to deal with things you ain't never done before. But I got news for you. If God is with you, hallelujah, I want you to know he'll go places with you you've never been before. And so she's going over. Oh, but guess what? She's got Jesus inside of her. Hallelujah. And she goes and she greets Elizabeth. And when she greets Elizabeth, just the mere voice of Mary causes Elizabeth's baby to leap in her womb. Everybody say, for joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. And this is why we'll go forward, for the joy that is set before us. And the baby leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So what I want to tell you is this. Just, and I want to read it because I think it says it so much better than I can. Hallelujah. 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 I got to find it first. Oh, here it is. What's the significance of the baby leaping? Listen to this. The baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb at the mere sound of the mother who was carrying the presence of Jesus. Say, his presence causes my baby to leap for joy, be filled with strength. Is anybody hearing me? Just the word of the mouth filled with Jesus' presence caused the child to be changed forevermore. The anointing, you'll never convince me otherwise, the anointing that John the Baptist had in his life came at that moment. Hallelujah. Just being in the presence. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You say, well, I come in here, how do I know God's here? Here is Mary, and the presence of God here goes to Elizabeth over there. Hallelujah. And the presence of God is tangible. It's transferable. And when I preach the word of the Lord, the anointing's coming through me. When those teachers preach the word of the Lord, it's going through them. And it's touching you, and it's touching your baby. It's touching the baby in your womb that is unborn. Oh, somebody shout. Somebody give God glory, because his presence changes my children. His presence heals my children. His presence anoints my children for battle, for victory, for life and liberty and living in victory. Hallelujah. Just being in his presence makes a difference. I have mothers who come to our Sunday night prayer meetings. We have mothers who come to AE practice on Saturday, which is our music ministry. And sometimes we have childcare, but for a long time we didn't. And they would bring those babies. And, you know, it's no fun when you're trying, and the kids are running wild. You know, I mean, after a while they're sitting down and we try to help them, but after about an hour and a half, they're going, woo, and they're just gone. I've seen them. And they're doing very good. And I finally had to get some child care. It was my fault we didn't have it. But it blessed me in this way. They were hearing the songs of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Even in practice, somebody say amen. And when those kids, I've got mothers. I've got Carla Mabe, and I've got Sharquay, and I've got Rosanna, and I've got Liz and Shara and Taryn and many others who come to either AE or come to prayer meeting on Sunday nights. And we have childcare, but many times if it didn't show up or we forgot to call them or they couldn't come because I call them the day of, I've seen Carla, I've seen Sharquay, I've seen all of them back there just sitting. They've got a baby in their womb, and they've got two or three kids there, and their husband had to work that night, but they're there in the presence of the Lord. And we're praying. You know what those kids are learning? They're learning all about praying in the Spirit. They're learning about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And don't tell me that if it went from Mary to Elizabeth, it can't go from us into our kids. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying today? It may be old-fashioned, but I promise you, when they go in that kick room, when they go in that AE practice, the presence of the Lord is there. You need to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the matter of some, as the day approaches when Jesus is coming back to the earth. During the service, last service, I just thought it was awesome. There was a new family sitting right about here. And about the, not until then, but at the time I got to this section of the ministry, a little girl about that tall, she reminded me of Aria. And she was a little more Mexican than Aria. She was, you know, she was a little Mexican girl. And my Aria is Mexican, half Mexican. And the other half of her, I don't know what she is. I think we're mutts, okay? But most beautiful child. And she started running around. She just ran around. And all of a sudden, she was up here. And all of a sudden, I realized, yeah, Lord, that's an illustration. You say, well, she just ran around. She's not getting anything. Oh, I got news for you. She runs around that for the first 10 years of her life. And she'll serve God with all her heart and all of her soul and all of her might. That baby sitting in your arms, ma'am, and that baby sitting next to you, ma'am, and that baby in your womb, lady, I got news for you. If he can affect John the Baptist, he can affect you and your baby. Hallelujah! I come in the presence of the Lord, and we stand before him. When attack is coming my way, I don't take my babies and leave God's house. I take my babies and run to God's house. And the Lord heard their cries. Did he hear their cries? The Bible says he heard their cries. They began to stand. Hallelujah, baby. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Psalm 16:11, worth reading. You will show me the path of life. What's the path of life? My lifestyle, where I go, what I do. In your presence is the lifestyle you want for me. Is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. My kids used to, I don't want to go to church. We drug them to church. You drag me to church. When they got there, they had a ball. They had a blast. Karen was the youth director. Karen was the children's church pastor. All you kids that say, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. You need to start one place and God will end up where he wants you. And serve God up the ladder. Amen. It's not status, it's just your growth process. And she had it so fun. We had about 80 to 100 kids in that little annex. And then we moved to the parking lot. And then all of a sudden, Jason and Shara, who we didn't know where he was reaching, Jason, I knew he was reaching baby girl, but I didn't know where he was reaching big boy, little demon, I'm sorry. All of a sudden, now they're the youth pastors. Now they're the musicians. Now they're, somebody hear me today. God's plan doesn't change. He's got a specific plan for you and your family. But it involves the family. Don't send them. Take them. Somebody say amen. Just everybody raise your hand right now. Everybody. And say, amen, pastor. Now, if you ain't doing it, just go home, lay before God, and repent. Nobody will know. So everyone is standing as a family and a nation. Desperate. God's okay with that. I need to say that. Oh, gosh, the time's gone. Desperate. They were desperate. Maybe they weren't perfect. But it didn't matter. God's okay with that. When you're attacked and you're desperate, God's okay with that. Just come into his presence. Praise him and remind him who he is and what his promises are and that you were never perfect to begin with. And it's so good that the Lord says, eventually says, go out and position yourselves and say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. His goodness is his goodness is his glory. His glory means you get what God can do and you don't have to earn it. Do you know that? The anointing comes through me and then to you. And when I'm through, I'm weary until God rejuvenates me. But when the glory comes, we just stand and watch God do everything. And the Lord says, you're not going to have to fight today. You just go out there having praised my name, and I will fight the battle for you. What does that mean? Very simply. You can come back to the keys. What that simply means is this. The battles you can't fight, he'll fight for you. But you must stand in his presence and in his word. The Bible says that Jehaziel, when they begin to entertain the presence of God. When you begin to entertain the presence of God, God will send a word to you. What is a word? A rhema word means that you can count on it. It's from God. It may take a time to come to pass, or it may be instantaneous, but it's a word from heaven. Man does not live by bread alone, the New Testament says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Who said that? Jesus did, and he was quoting the Old Testament. It came when he was being attacked and had been tempted, what others would have fallen. How did he survive it? With the word that the Lord had given him. It is written. It is written. It is written. And when he began to employ that word, when you've got a word in your heart, you can stand on it. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't evaluate your symptoms. Just keep your eyes on his words. I'm having to do that right now. I'm having to keep my eyes on his word. The Bible says that as they had pleased God by loving on him and looking to him, say, you're our hope. When my kid comes to me and says, Dad, I need you. I'm imperfect. I sometimes fail. But my heart is to do good. But the difference is between this Father and your Heavenly Father, he never fails. When they had done that, Jehaziel was anointed of God to stand up and say, thus says the Lord, as I told you. You're not going to have to fight. God's going to fight with you. Go out and stand in the presence of your God. And say those words. For the Lord is good, and your mercy endures forever. For the Lord is full of glory, is what it means. And his glory endures forever. You know what that means? It means it's not just good for Israel on that day. It's good for Louis. It's good for Terry. It's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for you. His glory will endure from generation to generation to generation. What God did for Israel, what God did for Mary and Elizabeth, what God did for them, he'll do for you. He'll do for me. I don't have time to go in to how that we need to be open to the prophetic word of God. But I want to say this. We're here. We're worshiping God. We're preaching the word. And we're to a place in our personal lives, perhaps, to where that you need that missing link. You don't know which way to go. You're stuck. You're hungry. You love God. You've not been perfect. But you know there's more. How many of you believe there's more? How many believe that he wants to heal you and deliver you? How many believe he wants to prosper you? He does. I believe that God has a word for us and that we need to be open to the prophetic word of the Lord. So here's what I want to say. As surely as we've been doing what they were doing, praising God, believing God, standing, I invite the Holy Spirit at the direction of the Father and the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, to send us prophets and prophetesses that will speak the word of the Lord in the assembly. I invite the Holy Spirit to speak through men and women here in this house, one-on-one, that you will prophesy over her and you will prophesy over him. And there'll be a process we understand how to test the word of the Lord. And the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophets. In other words, you just don't say whatever comes to your mind. You have control over what you say. And you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then we can test those prophecies. But I'm tired of us not having the word of the Lord in our everyday lives that says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm speaking the word, and it can heal. And you can get the word out of the word of God, which is always preferable. And it's the Logos, and it becomes Rhema word. It's a written word, but it becomes a spoken word. But then there are times when God will speak to me to speak to you. And I offer it humbly. And it can exhort and heal and correct and encourage. This church was built on the word of the Lord. And I invite you to hear a word that God gave me a week or two ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I wasn't here 2 weeks ago because the Lord worked it out. I really didn't have the time or the ability to go as far as the circumstances. There was so much going on here, but I knew I was supposed to go. And my wife bore witness, and so I went. And I went to a church, many thousands of people there. And I had, so it turned out the Lord directed that I go with a group from our church that was going. And while I was there, I knew that I needed prayer. I needed prayer for my family. I needed prayer for my house, this house. And the people that were there that are worldwide famous, they weren't available. But they had people like we do come up at the end of the service. And they said, if you need prayer, you go up. The lines were packed. And I thought, I don't know if I can get there or not. And one of my sons in the Lord said, look, Pastor, there's only one deep here. So I went over here and waited. I said, Lord, you know who you want me to pray with. It doesn't matter. My faith is that you will speak to me. My faith is that you will meet me. So I got in line and there was this lady. And I said, I was going to pray for one of my family members because they couldn't be there. They couldn't travel. And I thought, well, I've got two other needs, but I don't know if I'll mention those. She's a priority. And so I told them what the situation was with my family member. And just immediately, the lady says, I see and I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but can you tell me what the other two needs are? Because I really believe the Holy Spirit is saying they're all three connected. And when she said that, believe me, they were all connected. Had to do with me. And then she began to say, and I told her what the other two needs are, and it was an attack. It involved several things that the enemy had been trying to do. And to make a long story short, she says, there's a reason for all these attacks. She says, here's what I see. The enemy has come against you and your family because what is getting ready to happen in your family? God has a plan, and he definitely has a plan for you and your church. And she says, what I see is tremendous breakthrough. And she says, the breakthrough has to do with your people and your family and your church. She says, and the breakthrough, she says, have you felt stuck? Have you felt, and man, when she said that, I began to weep. Because as a pastor, I know there are things that I wanted to see come to pass, and we have striven with everything we know to do. You know, the key is to figure out, be still and know that I am God, or take the kingdom by force. You know what I'm saying? I haven't quite figured out which is which. Sometimes I think like Bill Johnson, I just need to, if I've tried one and it hasn't worked, I'll try the other one. But the point is, how many believe God will direct your paths? So you just didn't know where to go. And I've felt so that inertia. And I said, Lord, you need to, thank you. You're here. You're speaking to me. And she said, have you felt stuck? You felt stuck and you felt like you didn't know how to go to the next place. She says, you're right on the edge. You're right on the edge. She says, and the breakthrough, she says, oh my, oh my. She says, you can't imagine. And she said it again. She says, you just can't imagine it. And that's all she could say. But when she said that, I'm just full of God's, I'm weeping at that point and rejoicing at the same time. And she said, where are you from? And she says, I see San Benito County and Monterey. And I said, I'm from Monterey. She says, Monterey County and San Benito County. She says, is that close? She says, yeah, it's Salinas. She says, I'm from Morgan Hill. And she says, it's going to spread all over those counties. And she said, the things that have been attacking you, the sicknesses, the fear, the disease threatenings, they're going to melt and they're going to fall by the wayside. And here's what I want to tell you. I took that word. And since then, I've had some symptoms and we've had attack and what do you call distraction and contradiction, but I have good news. My eyes are on him and his words. How about you? Do you have a word today? If you didn't, you do now. Because that word, if it affects this house, it affects all of you.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.